Okay, we're picking out the Gemara on Lama Tesam and Aleph. We're 6 lines from the top, where there was Makam Shenagu Lichpol. I just mentioned that I wanted to go back for a moment and discuss the Sugya of Yehi Shmirah by the end of yesterday's daf, so we ran out of time. I think there's a very Yisrodistic Machlokas that's important to know between Rashi and the Machzor, between Machzor Vichy, which is usually assumed to be Rashi, and Tosos, in the very beginning of Brachos, the Daf Gimel. The Tosos quote the Machzor Vichy's interpretation of Yehi Shmirah. And according to Machzor Vichy, the shot of Yehi Shmir Rabba is Yehi Shem, the shame of Ka, Yud Ke, should be Rabba, should be great. And it's a reference to why is it called only Yud Ke? Because we're waiting the name of Kiyad al Kes Ka. The Pasuk says, Kiyad al Kes Ka, Melchamas Amalek, Bedor, Dor. Why is the name not written as Yud Ke Vav Ke? Only just the Yud and the He is written without the Vav Ke. So the Chazal is a drasha that the Hashem's name was never going to be great unless Amalek is wiped out. All the while Amalek is in there, there's a certain thing of Hashem's of name not being Malek, and that's going to be most of Mashiach when we wipe out Amalek. So that's what we're asking Heshmei Rabba. And then according to Master Vichy, the Mevorach, the Olam L'Mayal Maya, is a different tefillah that Hashem's name should also be blessed forever. And Tosos disagree. They say it sounds like it's just one sentence. It's Yeheshmei Rabba Mevorach, Olam L'Mayal Maya. It's all one sentence. That's all we're trying to say is one sentence. So the point from the Gemara over here, the Chora, it seems to be beferish like Tosos, like literally black and white Gemara like Tosos. The Gemara says that you should say Yeheshmei Rabba Mevorach Badadade. That it sounds like you should, according to Rashi, it's very clear, according to Master Vichy there, that you don't pause. It's Yeheshmei Rabba, and then it's Mevorach, Olam L'Mayal Maya, is like a different tefillah. And the Yeshmi Rabba, it's a beautiful pshat by Yeshmi Rabba, that we're hoping that the shame of Hashem should be great, and that's what we're asking for. But the Chora, that pshat doesn't work at all with the Gemara here that says you say it in one sentence. It's a little bit of a pella why Tosos also doesn't bring this Gemara as a raya. Tosos says for the Gemara over there, it's mashma against Rashi. Why don't they bring up a fair Gemara, black and white, Lama Tesam and Aleph over here, that seemingly is a deflection of Rashi's shita? That is a very big question I have. I'm not sure exactly how to answer that for the Machzor Vichy there, according to Daf Gimel, how we would answer this Gemara. Lameisa, we really pass like Tosos. And Shulchan Aruch, it says that Yeshbir Abba Varach Lamemeh, the understanding is that just Hashem's name should be great forever. That's what we assume is ever and ever. That's how we understand the pshat of Yeshbir Abba is. The Beit Yishchai tries to write that, like, you should try to also have in mind for Rashi, L'chor you can't, because it's one sentence. But either way, that is the machlokas between the Machzor Vichy and Tosos. L'chor, this Gemara is a very strong raya for Tosos. And now we're back to where we're holding 6 lines from the top of Makum Shenagu Lichpol. We're back in the idea of the minag to say, to double the psukim of Halal, you should double them. So Tana, we learn in a braisa, Rebbe Kofil Badvarim. Rebbe would used to repeat a lot of the psukim. Rashi explains he would repeat the last 5 psukim from Ana Hashem Oshiyan, he would repeat those together. That's what his minag was. Rebbe Elazar part the Mosif Badvarim, he would repeat even more than Rebbe does. The Gemara asks, my Mosif, which psukim was he adding? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Mosif me lechpol me odecha lamala. Ulamata, rather. He's including all the way from Odecha Kinas Anisani. That's the minhag that we have nowadays. He has those psukim from those psukim from Chaf Aleph till Chaf Tes. That is where he's repeating them, and apparently they're more repetitious in nature. That's more of the shira. That's like Rav Moshe was saying. We have the right to repeat those. Those are more of a shira in nature. You're allowed to repeat those. So now the Gemara continues of varach yevarach. Where the minhag is to make a bracha, should make the bracha. So we already pointed this out in the Mishnah. This bracha that we're referring to is not the bracha before Halal. Rabbi lo shana elo achrav. This the idea that you have different customs, different minhagim about who makes a bracha, who doesn't make a bracha. That's only with regards to after Halal. However, l'fanav mitzvah l'varach. Everyone's going to agree with regards to making a bracha before Halal. There would be a chiyuv and a mitzvah to make a bracha before. And damar avidam arshmuel kol mitzvahs kulam l'varach and olver l'siyasan. As the Gemara beginning of Pesachim that we learn that Gemara tells us that you make a bracha every mitzvah that you do. You make a bracha over l'siyasan immediately before doing the mitzvah. Moshe is bothered by this lashon of it. And here he asks, "Sarachin, what's the lashon of over? Why don't you just say a lashon of agdume? Kol mitzvahs agdume that you make a bracha l'siyasan. Why do you have to make the Gemara's going to ask?" What is over anyway? The Gemara's going to psukim him to tell you what the over was. But he's just wondering why we use this vague term of over lasiyasa. But either way, he leaves out Sarchi and doesn't answer that question. But the over lasiyasa means you do it immediately before. And that's the over means immediately done before the mitzvah. And that's the question. You can't have an over to over, use the lashon achronim coin, that you can't do it like that's 2 steps removed from doing your mitzvah. Even though it's right away, you can't do it. So, for example, I have my tefillin. I don't make the bracha on tefillin while it's in my tefillin bag, and I open the tefillin bag. It's only when I have it on my arm, about to tie it, that's over the sales, and it's right before I'm about to make the knot. That's when you make the bracha. So too, with regards to a lulav, that's the tosos bothered by over here. So, big tosos, the famous tosos, is that what do I do with regards to tosos? I can't leave it on the table. That's go over to over. That's too far removed from making the bracha. But if I pick up the lulav, the Gemara's lashon is, we're going to get to that Gemara's lashon of the agba bein afag bein, that the moment I pick it up, I'm ready yotze. So I'm kind of stuck over here. So Tosa suggests a few different answers. Tosa says that maybe you can pick it up. You can make pick it up, and you can pick up just the lulav, leave the esrog, and then pick up just the lulav, and then make the bracha. That's one eitz of Tosos. Another eitz of Tosos is to have in mind not to be yotze the mitzvah, and then pick it up with have a kavana shelo latze. So I pick it up, and then I make the bracha of al atilas lulav with in mind to being yotze. That's another eitz of Tosos. And the other one, that's I think more the most popular answer of Tosos, is that you pick it up with the esrog upside down. And that's why it's you're picking up in a way which the Gemara is going to say you're not yotze the mitzvah with that with picking it up in a way that it didn't grow, and therefore I'm not yotze until I turn that pitam around and then I make the bracha. So really, all three answers are quoted in Shulchan Aruch, and it's very interesting because lamaisa, it's one of those things that for me at least growing up, everyone who I saw always did it with the pitam down. Lamaisa doesn't seem like the Shulchan Aruch gives much precedence preference from between one answer and the other. If anything, the Mishnah Berurah also doesn't seem to be machriya so much. The Mishnah Berurah just says that the Birar Gro actually liked the mahalich of picking it up without having mind to be yotze and then shaking it. He thought he liked that mahalich, but he doesn't quote any necessarily preference. But the Minhag Olam is for sure, I think, from what I saw at least growing up, is that we do it with the pitam, and then you pick the pitam down and then you pick the pitam up to have it kederach gilulah. So that's how we answer to do it over lasiyah. So you pick them all together and then just in the wrong way with the esrog, and then we flip the esrog and make the bracha right before we flip the esrog, and then you flip the esrog after you make the bracha. That's how we answer of over lisiyasa. Now the Gemara asks, "My mashmalai over lashon de akdumi." How do I know that the lashon of over, which is literally is going to mean that it's right before? Damar v'nachmar yitzchak. Nachmar yitzchak says, "Yechsev v'yarat achimatz derech hakikar v'yavar sakushi." This pasuk is a reference to in Shmuel and Shmuel Beis is when Yoav sent the Kushi to tell David HaMelech that Avshalom died. So Achimatz wanted to be the one to tell David HaMelech, so therefore it's that Achimatz was setting up right behind the Kushi, eventually caught up to the Kushi, and he was over, he went before, he passed ahead of him. It's like immediately preceding it. That's why I quote that pasuk, that he's running away right before Vayavar Sakushi to go right before. Abayim Rach, Abayim is just another source of over Lifrayim. This pasuk is Yaakov Vinu, that when he was greeting Esau with all of his children, he was over Lifrayim, he went immediately preceded them. To greet Esau. So Rav Moshe asks, we have a pasuk beferish in the Torah, Lachor, that takes kedimas over a pasuk in Nevi'im. So it must be that the Rav Nachman Yitzchak was unhappy with the pasuk with the Gartz Yaakov, you know, maybe that wasn't necessarily mashma that he was going immediately preceding it. And then the Gemara continues with a third answer. We give another answer. Vayavar Malkam Lifneim Vashem Birosham. That the pasuk in Micha is talking about that eventually we're going to see the Mashiach, the King of Mashiach, is going to lead us. Hashem is going to precede all of that. Hashem is going to precede all of them. He's going to precede Hashem's presence is going to precede everybody. So that's immediately before that the Vayavar is referring to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, whose presence, the Shekhinah, is going to be before with Hashem at their head. That the Melech is going to have them preceding them. That's the lashon of Vayavar from that pasuk as well. Okay, this is one of the next Mishnah is one of the, always say there's big hashkachas in the daf. A lot of things like we learned Pesach right before Pesach was very nice. So here also, we're learning this whole Mishnah, this whole daf is very much about lachas of Shvius. And we know that Eretz Yisrael is going to be experiencing a Shvius in the next few weeks. It's very nice. You know, it's like a lot of in America don't feel it at all, but in Eretz Yisrael, people are talking about it, like with fruits, etc. It's very nice that over here, we're coming to the very big mitzvah of the mitzvah of Shvius. So the mitzvah of Shvius is that in the seventh year, where there's a concept of Shemitah, that the Torah tells you that you have to be mafkir, you have to relinquish control of your fields, and also Shemitah's karka, also Shemitah's ksafim, also that you have to get rid of the debts in the years of Shemitah. So that's what the halacha is of Shemitah. So now when it comes to Deoraisa, the psukim are very clear that they tell you, like, es karmacha los yizra, es karmacha los yizmor, and also los siktor and los siftor, those are all the different issers, like to sowing and to pruning and harvesting and picking the fruit trees. Those malachos are going to be asr mid deoraisa. So that is done if it's done in the derech that you normally do it. If you have other ways of doing it, if you do small amounts at a time or use other ways, that's going to be mutter. That's what the Mishnah has discussed. What exactly is going mutter? What's going to be usher? So when it comes to the produce of Shemitah, there's a din, la'achla v'la'hefse, the Gemara learns out of Jerusha, that the Rabban seems to think, I think that's a drasha d'oraisa, so that you have to eat it, and only for eating, drinking, the purpose of even a sicha kishtia, the Gemara learned that also, that you're allowed to anoint it. Those things, the normal usage of the things that you're using, that's going to be mutter, however, not wasting them. You're not allowed to waste them. And there's also another iser of la'achlav lola schora, that you're not allowed to sell commercially and in big amounts, in big bulk. You're not allowed to sell produce of Shemitah. So, and there's also another iser to guard your fields. We're going to get to that more later, but that's going to be important to note. There's also an iser to guard your fields with regards to Shemitah. So when it comes to small amounts, though, you are allowed to sell certain small amounts of your Shemitah produce. But there's one last halacha that is important also, is that you have to know what biur is. Biur means that you have to literally bevaris, to remove it. You have to dispose of your produce when it's no longer available in the fields. That's the mitzvah of biur with regards to Shemitah. So that's the din of biur as well. So now the Mishnah tells us how lokeach lulav mechaver b'shvir. So if I'm buying a lulav for my friend who is not a person who, it's a big shayla over here. Usually a chaver is referred to someone who keeps the halachas. You're referring to the friend who's an am haaretz. It's interesting. Okay, that's a whole shayla. But we assume it's the chaver who's an am haaretz. So that's Rashi discusses that over here with the girsa. But either way, that's we assume it's taking it from a person who's an am haaretz. No sin lo esrog b'matana. So that he has to give the esrog as a gift, because as we mentioned, that you're not supposed to be selling the produce of Shemitah. So over here, you give the esrog as a gift. You're not allowed to purchase it from him during the Shemitah. So the Gemara immediately asks, if the Amarites didn't want to give the esrog as a gift, what's the halacha? How do you get an esrog? What are you supposed to do now? So the Gemara is mamishing out of the Omer, like right now, if this would happen. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravuna, we avoid the issue, I'm pretty sure for both produces, we'll see, but that it's going to apply to Luv as well. But I don't think there's no issue at all for this coming year, because everyone just picks all of the produce before the Rosh Hashanah. So we don't get into any shilas whatsoever with regards to the next year, meaning that the next Sukkot is going to be the whole issue. We're going to have a lot of, going to have the Shemitah Esrogim and Lulavim. So we'll get to that, Rez Hashem. Later, but the Gemara says, so what do you do if you don't want to give the gift? The Gemara says, you can include the cost of the esrog in the price of the lulav, that the seller should raise the price of the lulav to the point where he can give the esrog as a gift. So you're just saying, I'm charging for a lulav, I'm charging $150. Normally he charges for the esrog and the set $150. He said, no, I'm just charging for the lulav, meaning, no, sorry, normally just a lulav is $100 and esrog is 50, use the other end, sorry, let's say an esrog is usually is $100 and the lulav is $50. So he's saying, no, I'm just charging $150 for my lulav. So clearly, even though this is not really exactly like MS that he's charging that much, but still we allow this harama. It's called a harama, even though it's not explicit for the esrog. That's showing that the buyer is intending to purchase the price of the lulav, and that's havla. And Rav Moshe compares this din of havla to the havla with regards to the same thing with Sar Shabbos. If you hire somebody for Shabbos as well, he's like, is not allowed to work for you on Shabbos. So what you could do is you say, I'm paying you for 6 days of the week. I'm paying you, I'm paying you $1,000. Even though really for the 7 days of the week you're paying $1,000, we're saying I'm really paying you for the 6 days. I'm just including the seventh day of Avla. The other posts can disagree with Rav Moshe that the comparison over here is not necessarily similar to the din of Shabbos. But Rav Moshe wanted to compare that to the din of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, so that's what you do. That you include the cost of the esrog in the lulav. That's what you do over here. So now the Gemara says, so let the Amarets just give the money for the esrog. Let the Amarets just give the money for the esrog. Why does the Mishnah tell us that it's usher to purchase a esrog during the Shemitah? This is a small quantity. So the Gemara says, because a different problem over here. Even a small quantity is mutter, but still, if yishain moser to be perosh vias la'amaretz, you're not allowed to give Amaretz money from the sale of Shemitah produce, because there's a separate iser to do that, and that's what's usher over here. There's machlokas, Rashi, and Tosfos, what exactly is usher? So according to, again, we mentioned that you're allowed to sell small amount of produce, but when you sell that small amount of produce, the Gemara learns out that the money that you buy from it has kedusha shvias to it. So just like kedusha shvias tells you, you can only use it for food and the like, so then you're also only allowed to use it for food and the like. And Rashi says, we're afraid that Amaretz is going to save the money the same way that you have to get rid of the produce in Lizman of Bir when things are not available in the fields, so too you have to get rid of the money. Rashi says, we're afraid that the Amaretz is purchasing the Shemitah produce. He is going to keep the money after the Zman of Beer, and therefore you'll be violating the Isra of Lifnei Iver L'Sin Michshol, that you're giving him and you're helping him do an Avera. Since you're helping him do an Avera by giving the money you know he's not going to keep the halacha with, that's the issue, according to Rashi. Tosos does explain a little bit differently. They say that he's going to purchase the things on, like, he's going to buy things that are not allowed. He's going to buy slaves, he's going to buy clothing, he's going to buy property, and all the things, those are not food. And us, the Torah allows you only to buy things la'achla, the things that are like food, drink, and sicha. Those things are going to be mutter. Everything else is going to be usher, and that's what we're afraid he's going to do. And that's the lifnei iver. That's why it's usher to buy him. That's why it's usher to sell him to sell him things, because you're afraid he's not going to keep the kedusha shvius money in a proper state. So the Gemara says, "The sound as we learn in Abayisa, ain mosrin to make pera shvius la amaretz. It's usher to give amaretz money from the sale of shminta produce yoser mimazon shalosh sudos, only for the amount of 3 meals. Less, three meals or less is going to be mutter, because we're not afraid, according to Rashi, we're not afraid that he's going to do anything with that money. He's going to just spend the money on food, and therefore it's going to be mutter. According to Osos, you just say that he's just going to use the money, but it's not such a great amount. He's not going to keep it and buy real estate. There's no, what can he buy for $10? What property anyone in the world could buy for $10? So we're not afraid he's going to buy other stuff, not clothing, other. He's just going to buy food for 3 meals. That's going to be the amount that's mutter. But wait a second. Lechora, a person's real, the Gemara we just had earlier, that how much is the general amount the person has? Rabbi Lazar says he has 14 tzudas because the Kederach Sha'adam Ochend. Chum don't disagree with the that you have to, they just disagree that you don't have to have the 14 meals, but they agree that fundamentally you have 2 meals a day. A person generally has 2 meals a day. So how are we allowing you to have 3? So we're talking about the amount that you're spending on Shabbos. So if this is the amount they're spending on Shabbos, maybe only if you're on Friday he's buying, then it should be mutter. He's going to buy Shabbos food. But what about the rest of the week? Apparently, Chazal were not gozer. Since it's mutter on Shabbos, we were not gozer, Rashi says, we're not gozer on other days of the week when people don't usually have 3 meals. That's not going to be an issue. So the Gemara says, so that's the case where the Shalosh Sudos, V'im Masar Yomer, but if you forgot, and he did give him much more, so he did way more than $10 of the amount for the 3 meals, he gave him, $1,000, whatever it was, for a lot of produce, so less than that, because it's going to be sore, let's say whatever, he bought $200 worth of food, so then he should say, Yomer, Harei Maos Halalu Yichol No Peros Shiesh Betoch Beisi, you're allowed to redeem the money, the amount that was Kedusha Shviz, and you can bring it on to the Lashon of English is deconsecrate, right? Consecrate and deconsecrate. You're allowed to deconsecrate the money that was on his peros onto your peros in your house, onto your money rather than your house, and therefore the money that you have will not have the Kedusha Shviz, and you'd have to keep it with Kedusha Shviz, that you would have to only buy food and the like, and you would also have to get rid of it at the Zman of Biur. So the Gemara says, Vav Ochlem Kedusha Shviz, again, the Chaver is going to come, you're going to eat them in Kedusha Shviz. As we mentioned, you have to keep the halachas of eating, drinking, or using it for light a lamp is also going to be mutter. Rashi says halakas aner, to light a lamp is also going to be mutter as well. So then the Gemara says med ramurim, when is this allowed? When are you allowed to give the amar it's money for the 3 meals? Bilokef min amufkar, only when you purchase the food from. That's why I mentioned in the introduction to Shvius that it has to be food a field that's going to be abandoned, that it's going to be that hefka, that he left it ungated and everybody could come in and out. The halacha of Shemitah is a person is not allowed to, it's usher for him to put a fence around his field and lock it up, because that's the din of hefka, that you have to leave it free for everybody to access. So, if he sees that it is locked up, then the halacha is going to be different. Bava b'lokech min mashumar, if you're keeping it from a protected field, so he's violating halacha z'shvias afilu b'chatzi iser aser. It's aser for him to take even a half an iser, which is a much smaller amount. Even a small amount from amaretz is going to be aser to take it from him, because he violated the iser d'oraisa. Therefore, we're not allowing you even to buy a small amount, even as 3 meals of half an iser, even less than three meals, or even as little half an iser, less than that. That is going to be aser for you to buy for him, and therefore even the small sale is going to be usher. So that's going to be usher. So that's the issue over here. Others explain that buying from him is going to be usher, because this is showing that you're publicly your guy is like, that's like saying a guy publicly mechal Shabbos, you're giving me asher koyach and helping him. The same thing with Shemitah, the guy's publicly mechal Shemitah, you're helping him. That's going to be usher. You're helping him by regarding it and helping him do business with him. That's why it's going to become usher. So that's what's shaila over here, is that lechora, according to this, the food itself does not become usher when it did. The only issue over here is that you're not supposed to do it because you're helping him do an avera. The food itself is not going to become usher by buying it from him. That's the shita of the Ramban. and other Rishonim. I think the Ritzel maybe also like that. But Rabbeinu Tam, he disagreed. He holds that the produce that somebody is keeping Meshumar is the Oraisa Aser to have Manah from Man. You're not allowed to have it from that. So he explains the Gemara differently over here because the way the Gemara is coming out, the whole issue is a side point, but the Rabbeinu Tam has a different understanding. There's one more Machlokas Rishonim. It's important to note is that the Gemara says that Afilu, the Lashon of over here, that Afilu Bechatzi Isser Aser, even the small amount of half an Isser Aser. What about less than half an Isser? Can I allow to buy even that small amount that Chazal weren't Gozer, or that wouldn't be Aser? So according to Rabbeinu Tam, there's no Shiloh. For sure that's Aser. Everything's going to be Aser. But according to the others, maybe that means a lesser amount is going to be Mutter. I think based on the Rambam, they explain that no. The Rambam says that it's just half an Isser meant a very small amount, and who had done everything less than that, you're not allowed to buy anything from the person who keeps the food, keeps his land Meshumar. Now the Gemara says, Mesiv Rav Shesis. Rav Shesis had a kasha on this. I mean, a Mufkar, Shalosh Sodos, Vazulo. Is it really true that a person is allowed to purchase even from a mufkar, only up to 3 meals and no more? Or meaning, lechor, the Mishnah seems to imply you can buy more. Hapegim, v'arbuzim, there's all different types of, Savan Rashi says different types of grass and leaves, v'ashitim, v'agugalos, different types of vegetables, v'hakuzbar, shebaharim, v'hakarpas, shebenharos, and kuzbar is usually a coriander, and karpas, what we maybe define as karpas, also the greenish thing that we have as karpas, v'agargir, shel afar, and again, these are all different types of greens that are different thing, type of plant. So these things, Pturim and Meiser, all Pater from Meiser, because generally we learn that Hefker is Pater from Meiser because we learn it from the Drasha of Rashi Kotz. Va Levi ki'en lo chelek v'nachla imach. The Levi is going to come because he has no portion of inheritance with you. So that implies that the Levi is coming from Meiser only with things that he has no portions with other Yidden. However, things that is for everybody, the Levi is shaykh to everybody, the Gemara is Drasha, so therefore everybody has a shaykh list to this. So you don't have to give Meiser on produce that is Hefker. So those are Pturim and Meiser. And they can be purchased from any person because even from the Arz, we're not afraid that he was guarding it. Lafisha in Kayotza ben Ishmar, because this implies that these things are not protected, and therefore since he's not watching them over them, he's not guarding them, and therefore we're not afraid that anybody is keeping them Meshumar, there's no problem with buying them from an Amaretz. So we see from over here that the Mishnah is telling us that there's no limit on what can be brought from an Amaretz and something that's Einim Meshumar. So we see that you're allowed to buy whatever you want. There's no amount of 3 seudos. So we see from over here that there's no amount of 3 seudos. There's also another important machlokas Rishonim. Do we assume, if you stand by from the Amaras, do we assume that generally he's keeping it guarded or unguarded? From this, the Mishnah seems to imply that only these things are kept that are unguarded. Other things, Lechora, that's Meduyak and Rashi also, that other things we would assume the Amaretz was suspect of violating the Halacha. So the Gemara answers this question. Who most of Lahu Mefarik Lather? Rav Sheshis asked the question and he gave the answer himself. Bechadei man shanu. They're talking about the law in the Mishnah is only with regards to the amount needed for man. Man is a person. Bechadei man shanu, that it's the amount that a person needs to eat. So that's the shaila, why we're using this lashon. So Rav Moshe suggests that maybe that they're saying, the Gemara's going to ask what this lashon means, but it just means that it's a amount of 3 meals. Why doesn't Gemara just say very easily, shalosh shudos? So Rav Moshe asks this question. Well, I'll just get to the answer first, and then we'll get to Rav Moshe's answer. V'chedei man shanu, they taught this halacha with regards to the amount that's needed for a man, meaning 3 meals. So the Gemara says, my mash but I man lishon b'zoni. How do I know that when the man's work, that the amount that's described, that what a man needs is turning to his mezonos, so the amount that he needs to eat. That says, oh, the king provided for them the portion each day. This pasuk in Daniel, Vayamen is a man, is a similar lashon, so that means that he was giving them their sustenance amount that they needed to eat, that was going to fulfill them. Moshe said, why did you say the Mazal Shalosh Shudos? Why did you say Kedei Man Shanu? So apparently this is another halacha that we know that a person is supposed to be Shona ke Lashon Rabba. That person is supposed to teach things exactly how he heard it from his Rebbe. So Moshe said, maybe that's exactly how they heard it from the Rebbe. They wanted to give the exact quote to not misquote the Rebbe at all. They wanted to give the exact quote, even though nowadays it would have been a much easier term to just say Shalosh Udos or something like that. They wanted to quote the Rebbe. That's why they use this lashon. Now the Gemara goes back to understanding when it comes to the lacha of Shemitah. The Gemara says, lulav nami. Wait a second. So when it comes to this lacha of the Esrog that you're mavliya, the whole schar, with regards to the Esrog, what about a lulav? A lulav, we know that a lulav has Kedusha Shvias. The Gemara on Daf Mem is going to get to that more. How do we know it has Kedusha Shvias? Even though you don't eat it, it still has Kedusha Shvias. Yet the Mishnah tells us, you're allowed to buy a lulav from him. Why is the esrog only issue when not the lulav? So the Gemara says lulav bar shishis hanichnas shviyas. So we're talking about lulav that someone this year, that's a 6th year going into the 7th year, and therefore the shemitah doesn't apply to it. The lulav that someone's using on sukkahs wasn't growing beikaron during Rosh Hashanah sukkah. So therefore, it was mainly grown during the 6th year. The lacha with regards to ilanos is that when something partially grows in 1 year and mainly grows in 1 year, partially grows in another year, it's going to after when it began to emerge. So a lulav lachora from the 6th year going to the 7th year is definitely majorly, 99.9% of them are all going to be grown in the 6th year, so therefore that's not an issue over here. As opposed to the Esrog, where they were picking them At a time, which also the Gemara asks, though, Ihachi Ezra Nami Bar Shisha Nicholas Rivas. But why is it that Ezra be the same? That it's going mainly growing from the sixth year and it's going into the seventh year. It should have no Kedusha Shemitah. Yet the Mishnah was talking about where there was Kedusha Shemitah on the Ezra. So the Gemara answers, no, Ezra Basra Lakita Azlina. When it comes to an Ezra, we follow not the date where it's mainly grown, but rather the date where you started to Lakita, when you started to pick it from the tree. So it's unlike a lulav, it's that it's when we don't go, not when it becomes, but. But when it's becoming, when it's emerging out, rather when it's butter lakita, when it's rather you're going to pick it. That's the etzrog is unlike other fruits in this halacha that their kedusha of meiser and kedusha of meiser and shmita are when their fruits are beginning to show. We're assuming that etzrog is going to be similar to yirakos when it comes to that. It's determined when they're picked. Butter lakita. That's why etzrog is going to fundamentally be different because the Rashi explains that the reason is that difference for the fruit trees they're done by rain alone. While vegetables in etzrog they're done through irrigation. So that's why they're similar to yirakos in this manner. So the Gemara says, the Gemara asks over Vihar, Beit Rabbi the Indian Shvias Esog Batar Chanata. That's not true. Why? You don't go after the Lakita. You don't go after when you pick the Esog. When it comes to Shemitah, the Kedusha Shemitah comes when the fruit is coming out, when it's emerging, when it's coming to the Chanata. The Chanata, Rashi explains, is a time when the flower is falling off and the fruits are beginning to come out. That's when it's determining the status of its halachic fruit. And if it's a halachic fruit in that point, when it's coming out, the flowers fall off, it's starting to the bud already coming out, then it's already considered a fruit in the sixth year. You're not going to have Kedushas Shvias. The sign, as we learn in the Mishnah in Bikurim, so the Mishnah says Esrog Shavu Ilan B'Shal Shadrachim. The Esrog is similar to an Ilan in three ways. The Yerek B'Achadach is similar to a vegetable in one way. Shavu Ilan B'Shal Shadrachim is similar to a tree in that La Orla Lervi La Shvias. That in regards to Orla, that in the Halacha that the first 3 years you're not allowed to have Hana from the fruit. That's a Halacha of Orla. That's a Halacha of Esrog as well. This is considered a fruit for that purpose. Also with regards to the fourth year, you have to bring them and their Kodesh Elul Hashem. You bring them to the status of Meister Sheni and bring them to Shalim to eat them there. So that would be the same Halacha with an Esrog as well, and also with regards to Shemitah, that with other fruits, the Shemitah is determined the date of which it's going to be the Chanata, when it's coming to emerge, as we mentioned. So too with regards to a Esrog. And it's similar to a vegetable in one way. And the Gemara continues, the Meiser status is going to be established at the time it's picking. With regards to the vegetables, it would be the same Halacha. So we see that with regards to an Esrog, we're bringing out from over here that when it comes to an Esrog, at the end of the day, Esrog, different Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Gamliel, Esrog, Shavu, Elam, B'Tachodavar, Esrog is similar to a tree in every respect, even with regards to Meiser. The only machlokas is regards to Meiser. There's no machlokas with regards to Shvias. Everybody agrees that when it comes to the status of Shvias, that it should go after Chanat, it should be at the date when it's emerging, not the date, Lakita, not the date where you pick it. This seems to argue on our Tanah of our Mishnah that the Esrog Shmita status should be based on the time of Lakita, the time when you're picking it. So the Gemara answers, Hu da Amar Kaya, Tanah, the Tanah of Mishnah is going with the following Tana, the Tana that the Brisa taught us. Amar Rabbi Yosi of Tomios Heid Mishum Chamisha Zekenim. Rabbi Thomas testified in the name of the five Zekenim. Esrog, the five elders. Esrog Achar Lakita Lemeiser. With regards to Esrog, you follow the time that it's picked. With regards to Meiser, Rabbi Sino Nimna Meushav Amnon. Rabbi Sino, they said that Ben Lemeiser Ben Leshvias. With regards to both Meiser and Shemitah, the Gemara is immediately asked, "What do you mean?" The Rabbi Yosi was only talking about with regards to Meiser, and all of a sudden you're picking up and talking about Shvias. Shvias, Manda Chashmei. What in the world does Shvias have anything to do with this? Abba Talmas never mentioned anything regards to Shemitah. What is it the Brisa adding that the Usha disagreed with Abba Talmas and said that even for Shvias? So the Gemara says, you're right, this Brisa must be missing something. Chesura Mechshav Afiterni. The Brisa is missing a whole back and forth, and we should amend the Brisa to say the following. Esog Acha Lakita LeMeiser VeAcha Chanata LeShvias. That Rav Thomas is testifying in the name of the Chamisha Zekinim that Esrog is, when it regards to Chanata, with regards to Meiser, V'achar Chanata, again, Esrog Achar Lakita LeMeiser, it's going to be after it's picked for the Meiser, and Chanat LeShvias is going to be after when it's going to emerge, when it's coming to emerge with regards to Shvias. So that's what Av Thomas is the review of Rama Gamliel. Rabbi Sina and Nebu Usha and Rabbi Sina and Usha, they said Esrog Basar Lakita Bein LeMeiser Bein LeShvias, that Esrog is going to follow halachas of picking both in regards to Meiser and Shvias. So the Tana of our Mishnah apparently is agreeing with the Rabban and Avusha that the Shemitah status of an Esrog is going to be determined by the time it's picked and not the time when it is Chanata, when it begins to emerge. So that from there comes out that the Tana of our Mishnah is telling us that there's only an issue with the Esrog, not the Lulav, because the Esrog is picked at the time, beginning of the Shemitah year, is considered Shemitah fruit, as opposed to Lulav. It doesn't matter when you picked it, if it emerged beforehand, and if it was mainly done beforehand, then it's going to Batar Chanata, and therefore it's not going to have the Kedusha of Shvias. So what comes up there, I want to point out, that the Sukkos of the eighth year, then you're going to have to be, there's going to be a Chumrah the other way, that when it comes to purchasing an Esrog, and when it comes to, uh, when you're going to be mutter to purchase the esrog, as opposed to the lulav, it's going to be an issue. So then you'd have to be mavliya the schar of the esrog with the lulav and echanami. That's what would happen in the eighth year. That's what the achronim point out. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up time of the lulav. Be'ez Hashem in tomorrow's daf.